The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. I'm not just going to give excuses for myself, but it's really hard to preach on gospel passages that are as powerful as this, right? Because in no way do I want to take away that heavy punch that is packed here, right? Jesus is throwing haymakers here, and I don't want to make it any softer than it is. I don't want to make it any less impactful than it already is. So I'll offer for your meditation. I mean, Spend some time with the reading. Spend some time with the scene that unfolds here. It's very powerful. One of the interesting things, I think, is that this is a parable, because it seems like a bit of advice, a bit of practical advice. And, hey, look, be like the tax collector and not the Pharisee. And I think that's fine advice for us to take away if we understand, you know, the dispositions, the habits of heart, the posture that the two men strike, and we see how much better the tax collector's posture is as he stands before God. But what makes this a parable is the fact that it reflects on Jesus's ministry in the same way that in the Gospel of Luke we've already seen, you know, like the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the unjust steward. I mean, these are all reflections on Jesus's ministry. So what is Jesus's ministry, and then what is his mission, and how does this gospel passage fit into that? Well, Jesus's mission is to re-enliven Israel, to reclaim their vocation, to be a light to the nations, and to enable that to happen in their midst. So Jesus is working with, in the eyes of some, all the people who are unworthy and undeserving. But those are the ones we see, if you can even remember from the parable of the prodigal son, the younger son, right? He squandered everything, doesn't deserve a thing. Those are the ones who are repenting of their way and returning to follow Jesus on God's way of life. Whereas the older brother who stands outside, looking at the undeserving nature of the younger, also refuses to come in. He doesn't repent and return. So Jesus is using this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in order to show something about his ministry and about his mission to again reclaim that vocation for Israel and to give it back to them, to enliven them so that they could live the life that God always wanted them to live. Not simply to be a blessing for themselves, but be a blessing to bring God's blessing to the world. So here, what do we have along those lines, right? What is Jesus' mission? Jesus' mission, we see throughout the gospel, is to bring the dead to life. It's to bring the dead to life. And I've used that phrase before. Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men alive. It's a radically different view of the way we see Jesus and his mission and ministry. He came to make dead people alive. Now, look at the passage. The Pharisee comes with what? His own life, his own resume, his own CV, right? He's going to throw it out in front of God. Look at all these great things. But you know what? He hardly throws it out to God, because he says the prayer to whom? To himself. He's praying to himself about how good he is and how not bad he is. Look at all these things I didn't do. And then look at all these things I did. How worthy am I? How worthy am I to stand in my position here in front of God? Now, he thinks he's coming in with a lot of life, but he sounds pretty dead because he's closed in on himself. Right? This word that Jesus uses, justified, it means that God will be deciding in one person's favor. Right? We present our case to God. He decides in your favor. You are justified. You are found to be in the right. Not the Pharisee. But here, what else? Where have we seen that word before? Justified. Well, I always think of those word documents: left justified, center justified, right justified. Right. What do you line up with? The left margin, the center, or the right margin? Who is the Pharisee lined himself up with here? Himself. And he's closed in on himself. There's no possibility of opening up either to God or to the person next to him, whom he condemns. And he can do nothing other than condemn him because he's closed in on himself. Doesn't only cares about himself. How many times does he say "I" in this passage? Right, and then we have the tax collector, whose only concern, right? He's not self-justifying. He's not presenting a list of the bad things he hasn't done and the good things he has. He has no merits to plead his cause. The only thing the tax collector has is his need for God's mercy. That's his heart. He knows. And he brings that need for God's mercy before God so that he can line up not with himself and his own wicked ways, but he can be lined up with God. He was dead and repenting and returning, crying out to God for mercy, he is made alive. So you see Jesus' mission all the way through here. Yeah, there's a turning of the tables, right? There's Jesus' turning the world upside down, and it's happening in front of them. The dead will live if they but repent and return to the Lord in his way. And so it's ours too. We come before the Lord with nothing to plead our cause. We don't come here today to present to God our religious resume and how good we've been this week. We just come in need of his mercy. Because who in this passage is a better conduit of God's mercy by the end? Who in this passage will be better able to bring God's love to life for everyone he encounters by the end of this passage? The one who pushes forward his resume and exalts himself before God? Not at all. The one who knows himself, who is in need of mercy, and so can bring God's merciful love to everyone he encounters.